for cataclysm, as it was in the days of Noah. Adam to Noah, and then Noah to to Christ, Christ to our day. There's not too many 2,000-year periods. Now, last Sunday, we realized, as before we have taught, from Ephesians, the first chapter, that the name of Jesus is in the bride. That is what he inherited, and that is what he gave to his bride. Now, I want to continue in that thought, that vein, that his name is in the bride, and that we caught that from the only verse in Scripture that mentions exactly what Christ the Logos made flesh, inherited from the Father, even as only a son can and does inherit or take that which is passed on to him, was found in Hebrews chapter 1. So, we'll look at that in verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we found that also linked with or parallel John chapter 5 and verse 43, the first part, where it says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. So we see what he received of the Father. Now, let's just go a little further and see that same name that has been pronounced to come in that hour in Isaiah chapter 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And also in 7 and 14 of Isaiah, we read, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Now, those expressions are fine, but let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25 to get the precise and exact understanding of what that name is and why it is what it is. Why it is what it is. All right. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled by that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now the name Emmanuel is fine, God with us, but you see Jesus tells why it is God with us. So we're getting the definitive here in this scripture. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife and knew her not, until she brought forth her firstborn son, and Joseph called that one's name Jesus. So here we see in Matthew verses 21 and 25, the first chapter, we get the precise and exact understanding of what that name is and why it is what it is, which is Jesus or Jehovah Savior. The Logos made flesh is Jehovah God, come in the form of a man. And we know that the compound titles of Jehovah refer specifically to God relating himself to man through the attributes that lie in him, that's in God. Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Now that's the revelation the servant has had when they burned him at the stake. That's what the angel of God said to Brother Branham when he came to him And there's no one can really deny that. Now, over in Hebrews 1-3, we see it put very beautifully. So we go back to Hebrews 1:1-3 again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets. Not by, but in. Certainly it's by, but he was in the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, we'll take verse number 3 first. Who being the brightness of his glory, even the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now this one, born of Mary, called Jesus by Joseph, on the specific order of God, is the brightness, outraying, shining, emanating of God, or that which is seen of God, who in himself is invisible. See, don't stumble at the thought of invisibility. You cannot see Lee Vale. There's no way you can see him. You're looking at the crust that he's living in, but you can't see him. People get so bound up on these expressions. And it's not that they're trite. They're beautiful, they're elastic, they're illuminating. If you just let your minds go, and you're going to have to do that this morning to understand some of the things I'm saying. All right. He is the express image, or as the Greek puts it, breaking it down, God himself, the etching instrument, literally etching himself on a figure. So that when you see the figure, all you'll ever see of God is what you see there. And therefore, what God is, becomes this one called Jesus, who then is absolutely the Christ in human form. I want to go over it. This one born of Mary. That's the one that we read of here in Matthew, called Jesus by Joseph. You notice that God did not call him Jesus. God directed Joseph to call him Jesus, just the same as God spake by the prophets. All right. On specific order of God, called Jesus, this one is the brightness, which is the outraying, the shining, the emanating of God, or that which is seen of God, who is invisible. God coming into manifestation. This one that's called Jesus, born of Mary by the Holy Ghost, is the express image of God. And that word, express image, is where you take an etching tool and you literally begin to etch. In other words, there must be a material in which you want to bring forth what is in your mind. So therefore, God brought forth in Jesus what he was. You follow me? Okay. And therefore, what he is, that is God, is becomes this one called Jesus, who then is absolutely the Christ in human form. Now, don't get caught up in that one as though that's a lot of double talk either, because it isn't. Christ is the anointing that came out of God. So therefore, this one here is the Christ. And he's in a human body. And he's absolutely unique. And you must understand and try to deal with scripture that give you an emotional, spiritual understanding. You cannot be simply what you might call compatible mentally, nor can you only be sympathetic. You must be mentally compatible. You must be sympathetic. You must be empathetic. See, then you're getting more into Revelation. Now we'll take the other two verses. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Now God had a way of dealing with the people whom he had created, and now by foreknowledge and election had predestinated to be the ones to whom he would reveal himself with whom he communicates. Now, that's not a great big mouthful like a Philadelphia lawyer. Listen carefully. God had a way, it tells you here, of dealing with people whom he had created, and now by foreknowledge and election hath predestinated to be the ones to whom he reveals himself, with whom he has communication. Now, how does he do it? Speaking. How? By possessing the prophets. But in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. There's not even a pronoun there. I mean, what do you call them? Not a pronoun. The pronoun's not there, but neither is anything else. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Now, in verse 2, God has gone beyond prophets for the sake of redemption. See? And he actually bypasses all men to become a man himself, and thus speaks himself as a complete personal vessel. What complete personal vessel? God himself in a human form. This is perfect communication. This is perfect communication. Do you hear what I said? God in the man, not in a prophet, God becoming a man. Now, he was speaking in the prophets, through the prophets, concerning himself for the sake of the people. Now, he's in the Son. Therefore, if he is a man, and he's speaking in terms of redemption and revealing himself, it must be a perfection. Now, let's go to Scripture and see it. We go to 1 Corinthians 2:11 to 14. This will help you understand why I said what I said. 11 to 14. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now that tells you right there. What if you should get a combination? What if you got man and God in one body? Then man can relate to you, the human. And God in the human can relate back to the man. Got a perfect combination. Perfect illumination. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. No way could that have been except for the incarnation. And the same one incarnated says, I'm going away back to the Father, and I'm going to come back upon you. This gives you the understanding why he's a faithful high priest. We'll talk about that later. I got to move fast to get you out of here. Okay. Which things also we speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It puts man in a place to become one with God. How can you be one with anybody if you've got a mental capacity lower and you can't apprehend? Now, they tell me marriages are very successful because a man marries down and the woman marries up. Not in every case. But you can see what that does. You've got a balance in there, hopefully. But it's not the best balance. See? But you come with God. You've got the perfect balance because God doesn't marry down and people don't marry up in that sense. God became man. And in that area, he opened up a realm of perfect communication of himself, and within them, a perfect realm of communication with him. So that we can know the things of God that are freely given us. I mean, know them. We're not talking anymore about just hypotheses and some hypothetical theory here. Now it says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Certainly not. Because he's not born again. They're foolish unto him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. But you see, this would not have happened unless God had taken on himself the form of a man and a spirit of man. So he could understand man. See? Now, you get a mechanic or an inventor makes an automaton. Now, he understands mechanical parts. That's as far as that thing goes. But if that thing had a spirit, that inventor... That inventor would have to bring himself down to that spirit or lift that spirit up to himself. That's why it was that God came down and putting his imprint upon man, he lift man up. Now you've got a beautiful and a wonderful unity here we're going to talk about sometime down the road in John 17 again. All right. I mentioned the high priest. Let's take a look at Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 1 to 10. Every high priest from among men is ordained to men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes his honor upon himself, but he that's called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He said another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, that's when he was living here as an ordinary man, when he'd offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now you notice it's the son part that's the flesh. The fatherhood part is the spirit. See? Though he were a son, learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Now you can see right there, God and man. When he brought it that way, he brought that perfect unity, and he brought the understanding, he brought the communication, he brought the illumination. Now let's see if that isn't true. 1 John, the 1st chapter. See, we get cropped of evidence here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life that was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now that word is the phanero, which means it was positively, genuinely, without doubt, revealed in its true character. There is a life of God that's unmistakable. You say, well, who's seen that light? Nobody can see light. Ah, that's exactly right. Read your Bible and it tells about it. That's why you got such a mess at the end time. See? Now, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have, you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. No man can get there without that one having become man. These things we write unto you, joys may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And it tells you right there, if you're off the word, you're finished. You can talk about all the fellowship you want, all the born again you want, you're out of it. In other words, we must remember, as Brother Branham said, the two spirits at the end time are so close, absolutely voodoo. Now I want you to notice something which could cause you a problem for a moment, but there's no problem to it. You heard me read over here the second verse of Hebrews 1, hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Now appointed heir is not the same as the fourth verse. No way. The appointment of heir has to do with Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verses 5 to 8. Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come where he speak, but a certain place testifies, what is man, you're mindful of him, the Son of Man, you visit him, made a little lower in the angels, you crowned him with honor and glory, set him over the works of your hands, you put all things under your feet and so on, but we see Jesus made a lower in the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should take death for every son, for it became him, and so on. It tells you right in there that he was appointed to that, to be heir on the grounds, not of what is passing on from the Father to the Son, which is lawfully his, which would be that name and the life within him, but on the grounds of his faithfulness. See? The same as he became a high priest. Now, and that is because he died upon Calvary and rose again. That's why he is in that particular position. That's why we read over here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning of the 23rd verse, which I've gone into many, many times with you. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ, that is coming, that is parousia, then cometh the end, and then everything begins to be put under his feet. Now he's appointed to that. You see, he's heir to that. Amen. In other words, it falls his because he paid a price. But you see, when it comes to that name initially bestowed upon him, it distinctly says, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he hadn't done one thing about it. But he's called that from birth. See? Now, so therefore, when the name was proven that he had lived up to that name, which we'll talk about, then he receives all these things here. Okay. His name is in the bride then. That is what he inherited and gave it to us, his bride. Can you imagine a woman not knowing or not wanting her husband's name? Well, you say, I don't know that I know a person like that. Well, I know a person in Canada who wouldn't take her husband's name. That's Joe Clark's wife. And he was the prime minister up there. What woman would not want her husband's name? If I had a woman like that, I'd never have her in the first place. She'd never have me. You can see what men will settle for. God wouldn't do that. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance, or meeting out justice, separating between them that know not God and those who do know. That's why in the second chapter there's a divorce. Oh, she says, I'm married to God. I'm the bride. Tell me his name. What name is in you? She doesn't even know. I'm Methodist. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Baptist. That's exactly what you are. Amen. And that's all you are. Blasphemous names. Said they don't know God. Now, I beg your pardon. People say we do know God. Are you making God a liar this morning? You better consider yourself. There was a time they could make Jesus of the devil. And he said, I'll let you get away with it. But the day the Holy Spirit comes back, that's the day your name goes off the book of life because you said that. And the Holy Spirit's back today. See? All right. What bride wouldn't know her husband's name or want that name? It is the Father's name, Jehovah Savior. All redemption lies in it. And now all of it lies in the bride. See? Remember, the plan was to redeem sons. That is why he was a man, kinsman redeemer. God became kin to us through reason of the flesh and gave us his life. All right, listen. Now we'd better just go back again to Matthew. And I don't have to read it. Chapter 1, 24, 21, 25. That's where they call his name Jesus, which of course is based upon Isaiah 9 and 6 and Isaiah 7 and 14 in particular, because that's exactly the specifications. All right. What I am saying is this. The only reason he can be called Jesus, Jehovah Savior, is because he is simply called what he is intrinsically or from his own personal being. I ask you a question. When you were named Paul or John or Bill or Mark or any other name, did that apply to you? No way. You weren't called what you were. There's a lot of nice people called John Paul. Two beautiful Bible names. How do you know that John Paul today isn't the forerunner of the Antichrist? Now this one here was called Jesus because that's what he was. There's a difference. You see? That's why Adam was called Adam, because he was earth, red earth. That's what he was. Hey, got a big difference there. He is the mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Son of David, God with us. That's exactly what he was. Now let's turn to Philippians. And we'll pursue the thought. For the fifth verse, the second chapter, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. In other words, whatever form that God chose to avail himself in, as Brother Branham correctly said, the onmorpha, that which strikes the eye. God in himself can strike no man's eye. Amen. So there's something got to come out of him. Where else would it come from if it didn't come out of him? So that you could see him. Creating a veil Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the Logos, enveloped in a pillar of fire, thought it not the prize to be grasped and retained, to be equal with God. Absolutely was. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient even the death of the cross. Now we just let that go there, but hold your fingers there. Now Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 1-11. The law being a shadow of good things, having a shadow of things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers done perfect. Now notice what it says here. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. But when you get to Christ, you've got the very image. That's why the law didn't work. It couldn't etch itself and imprint itself upon you because you already were dead. It was one dead thing striking another like a branding iron on a piece of wood that had lain there for a century. When you're dealing with Christ, there's the etching power there. God transposing himself into a likeness. Same thing happens with you and me if we're born again. For then would they have not ceased to be offered because that the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin or conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance made of sin every year. It's not possible. The blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the word, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In other words, put aside those things that you know and start looking at a body. In burnt offering and sacrifice and for sin you had no pleasure. Then said I, come in the vine, the book is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not need that the pleasure therein, the which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, by which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now you're looking to the body for the sacrificial remedy that you need. And every priest standing, daily ministering and offerings, oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting his enemies, made his footstool. For by one offering, you're the perfect forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost is also witness. After that, he said before and so on. All right, now, we look at that. And also, in Hebrews 2:9-18. Now I'll try to put it together for you. But we see Jesus made a little more than the angels, suffering and death, crowned with glory and honor. He by the grace of God should taste death for every son. The man is not in the originals. It should be in italics. For it became him from whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons into glory, unto glory, to make the captain of salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name in the midst, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in him, and so on. Now, let's go back and start over again. By going to Philippians, not reading the same thing, but continuing in verse 9. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, gave him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, unto the glory of God the Father. Now, the same thing back in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, which I think I actually read it all to you, and we go to the 12th to 14 verses. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting, now listen, from henceforth expecting, till his enemies be made his footstool for but one offering, he hath purged ever them that are sanctified. Now, what I'm trying to show you here is this, that this one who was manifested in flesh, this one that was born and given the name Jesus, because he was Savior, then when he completed the work, proving that he was Savior, the name becomes magnified. He is the Savior, and it's over. See? It's over. You follow what I'm talking about? A completed work. So therefore now stands that name, which the Father honors, Because he was the Savior. One offering did it all.
Amen.
Now the big question is, are you full of the Holy Ghost? See, that's the big question. See, because the sin part's been done. It's taken care of. He was to be the Savior. He fulfilled it. Now what is he? The great high priest. The intermediary, the mediator, and the intercessor. So there he is. That is why he is Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who in a human form offered up his life in mediation for the sins of man. Absolutely was that Savior and proven to be, for God raised him. And now that name is above every single name. And at that name every knee must bow and every tongue confess. And there's no name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Why? Why? Because he was that name. Then how are you going to get anything outside of that name? Now then people just wonder why the name of Jesus is so wonderful. I'm telling you why. Now, you can't unidentify Jesus the man with what that man was, which was Logos made flesh, which they called Jesus. But never forget that the flesh man was not originally and therefore can never be Logos of itself. Now, you're going to choke on that because you didn't understand what I said. I'll read it over again. Say, now you can't unidentify Jesus the man with what that man was. There's no way. Because he's the one that died on Calvary. He's the one that God raised. He's the one called Jesus, Jehovah Savior, saving the people. You're not going to ever change that. And it was the Logos in flesh. No way can you change it. But never forget that the flesh man was not originally and therefore can never be Logos of itself. Because he wasn't there in the beginning, his flesh. The flesh came thousands of years later. That's why he says in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. And he says in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, the spirit man, what we're talking about, was Jehovah God. See? And they were one, God and man. Now that's a little bit tough, in a way, but it's not that tough. Because, who is this one? That's the outraying of God. That's a human form. Jehovah God. Jehovah Savior. And you got to identify him. If he wasn't, then none of us is saved. The Bible's a lie. Now then, listen carefully. In Acts 9, a pillar of fire struck Paul down. Same Saul. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's what the voice said out of the pillar of fire. And Paul, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? Now that word, Lord, is Jehovah. Who are you? Are you Jehovah? Now, and the voice said back, I am Jesus. I'm Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior in flesh. Is nothing but Jehovah's Spirit in a pillar of fire. It's the same one. You can't change them. Sure, it's a little tough on the mind, but you let the mind go and it's not so bad. Now listen, the voice of Jesus in the fire was the same voice of the same one in Hebrews 1 and 2. Now come on, let's go back and look at it. God was in the prophets. Now, in these last days spoke unto us in the Son. Where was God? In the Son. And he was in the Son like he wasn't in the prophets, because no prophet was the Logos made flesh. He was a human sperm and egg. This one was the Logos that literally stepped from the pillar of fire, changing his form to a sperm and an egg, that he created of himself and inhabited the body that came forth by the chemistry of Mary. Now, the voice of this one here in flesh is the same voice in Acts 9. Same person. He was back to the pillar of fire. Let's go back to the pillar of fire and see if it rings true. Exodus, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the messenger of the Lord appeared in him in the flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw, he turned aside to see God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now notice, in one place he's the messenger of the Lord, the next place he's God. Same one. And God said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh thither, put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, either this Bible gives a true account, or it's a lot of hogwash. So therefore, when he was confronted with the pillar of fire, which was the form that God had hid himself in, he was looking at God, and a voice came out of it. Now that's great. See? Other prophets didn't have it that way. The pillar of fire didn't always hang there. But that Spirit of God would come upon them, and in them, and speak forth from them. Now, you see what it says here, that God is speaking in the Son. And when he speaks in the Son, having identified himself, there has got to be a report, a revelation, a communication that could not happen any other way. Amen. Then let the Holy Spirit anoint the individual with whom God wants to talk, bringing him through Jesus Christ in the process that God brought him through. Absolutely, that person will absolutely have to have a genuine revelation of God. A genuine revelation of that word. How in the world can he say he's born again? Believing in three gods and every other hogwash is paganism. Now, let's just look at this fire of body, a fire of flames. Let's take a little look at it. Let's take a little close look up. That's what I got in mind, hopefully. We go to Ezekiel, the first chapter, and verses 1 and 4. It came to pass the 30th year of the 4th month of the 5th day of the month. Notice how precise. I was among the captives of the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. He did not see visions from God, though per se that is correct. He saw visions from God, of God. Like I could say I had a vision from God of Hitler and his armies attacking Poland. Just as sure as I stand here, I'm looking at you, I saw that with my eyes wide open, sitting up in bed. That was a vision from God, but it was a vision of the armies of Germany invading Poland in 1939. This is different. He had a vision from God, and he saw God in a vision. You follow me? I get your understanding straight. The fourth verse. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, living, twisting, turning, animated, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, the color of amber. Now, amber is the color absolutely signifying the presence of the Holy Spirit. And out of the midst of the fire, and out of the midst of thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and so on. Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, in the 2nd verse. Then I beheld in lower likeness as the appearance of fire. Now, listen, from the appearance of his loins, who? God. Even downward fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. Now you say, did he see a man? No, he saw a pillar of fire that resembled a man, that presaged or foretold a man. And he said, from the loins down and from the loins up. In other words, he's talking more or less about a symmetry of mankind. Like, he's upright, and you go in both directions. Down, pillar of fire. Up, pillar of fire. God's in the pillar of fire. So from the loins down, loins up, there he is. Not seeing a man, but seeing that which was lying there. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 4 now. You're going to see the same thing identically. No problem here, because it's one God with one Spirit that writes the whole book. Now, 2 to 3.
interpolated and in italics, because below it says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now it didn't say he's made up of stones. He was like it. What's he talking about? The same pillar of fire. And a rainbow was about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And so therefore he saw the fire living and moving. Moving and living. And it was amber. And it was a green color. Ambers and greens, not blues. Not blues. I can teach you that and show you it's the blue light and spirit in every single time. But you get somebody takes a little picture with a Polaroid camera, got blue lights. How is that? You wouldn't know God had made him your soup bowl. Sure. It's a trouble. Here's what it is. Amber. Greens. Pillar of fire. And awful lot also like the Urim and Thummim. Which means this is the one that has the answers. Going back now to Ezekiel. Chapter 1. 26 and 27. And about the firmament was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. And as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber. Notice it never changes. It's the predominant color. The one color you look for is amber. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it. Notice, he says round about within it, entwining and flaming, living. See, moving. And this movement's got to be life somewhere. Something doing it. As the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day, same one he saw over the throne. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice that spake. Now, what was this, the appearance of the glory of the Lord? This was God's own estimation of his own self as to how he should clothe himself. So when they saw it, they saw the glory of God. And when you ever see anything come into being from God, you'll realize that that is the absolute in an estimation. Oh, that's why they couldn't stand Jesus when he came on earth. No way! It wasn't big enough. It wasn't blazed enough. Born in a stable in a, over a heap of cow manure. Or camels or whatever it was. Oh, he couldn't come that way. Brother Branham hit it exactly right when he said, say, Jesus should have come on down with a golden carpet out of heaven and descended down to the feet of Caiaphas. Oh, great Caiaphas, I'm here to embrace you. I'm the God of glory. And Caiaphas would have kissed his feet, his ankles, and slobbered on Jesus' beard. They'd have risen up and kicked the Roman Empire out so fast you'd have wondered how one person could put an army to rout. They'd have done it. But he didn't come that way. Couldn't come that way, see? People still can't understand what Brother Branham preached about the pillar of fire and the presence of him who was flesh, who went back from flesh to being the pillar of fire. Not that he's being a pillar of fire, it's the veil. The spirit within it, see? Alright, now, this Logos, I'm looking at the Logos, the pillar of fire, that clothed that spirit, and that spirit came down and entered a man. Then he left that man and went back to his pillar of fire. Perfectly legitimate. Merciful heaven, if I owned a house here and in California, it's my privilege if I live here in California anytime I feel like it. Don't you can stereotype God, he never changes, but you see, they don't know this is one of the things he never changes. See? Now, this Logos that was coming forth out of God was living. It had life in itself. Oh, that's right. You could tell it was by looking at it. Was moving, animation. See? Now he didn't say, now listen, this man, Ezekiel, did not say there was a wind that blew it, there's a whirlwind came out of the north, because this thing created a whirlwind. It wasn't a whirlwind making that fire go shoo, 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 shoo.
I'm going to tell you something. You get a house that's set on fire in a windy day. The wind only makes the fire grow brighter. But if there's no fire, what's the wind going to do? But you get that house on fire, not even on a windy day, it creates an uprap just like that. See? So don't get mixed up in your thinking. It was a pillar of fire. The life within it moving, moving, moving was alive. Sure it was. Moses knew it was God. God called it God. Amen. See? That's why he's called a consuming fire. Many other titles, but he's actually the Holy Spirit. Jesus invited. Okay, John chapter 1. The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Same as in the beginning with God, all things made by him, without not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Over here in John 5, and in verse 26, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. See, it's a different kind of a life you're talking about. There it was. Now, watch John 10. 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. I've got life in myself. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I got power to lay it down. I got power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now he's telling you right there what he has. He has that ability. Now, then it's not strange if the Logos will inhabit a human being, then leave the body and take another form on purpose, due to a necessity of the purpose of plan of Almighty God. Now, we watched John, we read John 10, 17, 18. See? He said, I got power to lay my life down, I got power to take it again. And he does. He comes back as a resurrected body. That is why the flesh of God is eternal and immortal. You getting what I'm saying? I'm laying my life down. I'm taking it again. I'm going to rise as an immortal human being. You can't change that. Nor there was a beginning to it, but there'll never be an end. See? That was way back there. It has become flesh, and it will never, 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 never end. Now listen. Life in itself. Now listen. It was not the flesh that went back to the bosom of the Father. It was the Spirit of God that went back to the bosom of the Father. I came from God and I go to God. It was the Logos that came out and went into Mary's womb that made that flesh. That flesh was not in the bosom of the Father. But when he identified with that flesh risen from the dead can never die. See, and God can use that body anytime he wants. Use that pillar of fire anytime he wants. And the one that said it, I've come from God, and I go back to God. See? That was the Logos. That was living in that body that he made as a tent for himself for the purpose of death. The flesh was placed on the mercy seat behind the throne of Revelation 4, 2 to 3, which we read. And you can read for yourself Revelation 5, 1 to 7, when it came time to open the book sealed. It was a man that did it. Who was it? The one that died and had the keys of hell and death and can die no more. He was that one that was the body of the Logos. The same Logos from whom he took the book of redemption. The same Almighty God, see? Now, what is that one with life in itself as flesh doing? Read it in Hebrews 5. He is the high priest. He's the mediator to bring us in. He's the intercessor to keep us in. Now what is the Logos with life in itself doing as pertaining to the pillar of fire? Now we're distinguishing between two. The same one that was in the tent of flesh, in the tent of fire, in flesh he redeemed. What's he doing in the pillar of fire? Acts 2 tells you, came on down, separated himself, said anybody baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can receive a portion of me. And now, that's been going over 2,000 years, but today, not that it's changed its course, but manifesting itself more and more,
coming into fullness, that same Logos is in the bride today, getting her ready for the resurrection. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, verses 20 off, 19 and 20. And notice, that one even Christ, before flesh, had in him all the seed. Now notice, we're talking about the man, the Logos tent. We're talking about the pillar of fire, a Logos tent. What we're talking about is a Logos in both tents. And we're talking what both tents, not what the tents are doing really, but what the Holy Spirit is doing by means of them. What is being accomplished. Now, we see in here that this one, even Jesus Christ, even rather Christ, before flesh, had in him all the seed. Because it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to bless all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We were in that Logos before the foundation of the world. That's exactly right. Now listen, then starting with Adam, the first son of God, there came flesh. Now not the flesh of Logos, but there came flesh. God breathed into Adam his own spirit, the breath of life. That's what it says in Scripture. And Adam became a living soul. Now listen, he was commanded to bring that same life in turn to many sons for God, but he went to sex. So instead of man supplying the Spirit given him of God and by God, and God supplying or raising the bodies, for now the life, for man supplies the bodies, and God supplies the life in the seed. I want to go over that again. He was commanded to bring that same life in him into many sons for God, because if God replenish the earth, be fruitful and multiply. But instead, he went to sex. So instead of man supplying, the Spirit given him a God. Now watch. You see, Brother Branham, which the Scriptures write in Scripture, God formed that man and placed in him this spirit being that Adam and Eve were together. All right. Now he said when he separated them, be fruitful and multiply. And they with that spirit within them were supposed to take that soil or whatever, the elements, whatever, I care less how it's all done. And they would breathe. They would not have supplied the elements. They would have supplied the breath, the life. But they went to supplying the body. You follow what I'm saying? They should not have supplied those bodies. That was God's job to supply. Amen. Their job was to enliven. Instead, they went to sex. Now, for man supplies now the bodies, but what has God done to rectify it? He has supplied the life in the seed. So God has not lost out. It has been reduced to a seed that will eventually bring forth what God wanted. You follow what I'm saying? Instead of fully grown, fully manifested sons, that's out. You go through the process of sin because of sex, and you're up with all your trial and error and all your beating down. But if you were in Adam, and he's the first one, if you were then way back there in that Logos, which is a manifestation of God, and there'd have to be a manifestation for God to deal with Adam, he reduced it to a seed. And now the body comes before a seed. If you haven't got that right seed from way back there, you'll never be in his image, no way, no way possible, even Mr. White Stone Judgment. You follow what I'm saying? Man was supposed to do his job, he let God down. But now, through or by Jesus, who is not a soul, but a spirit, God redeems and returns men to immortality. For by Adam came death to the flesh, and separation from God, but by Jesus comes union and resurrection. Now I know what I'm talking about because I'm getting you right out of 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? You fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body that pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now you see what happened. They got into the wrong seed that brought forth bodies. They should have been bringing forth life. And God would have given the body to suit it. You get what I'm aiming at here? I hope you are. Because listen, it's got to go back to originality. That's what the resurrection is all about. It's a body that God Himself gives it because of the seed. See? That's why serpent seed messed everything up. Now, there's one that's not all flesh is not the same flesh and so on. I won't go into that. 45 to 50. Now, as it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's two different things there. As living souls, they were able to bring forth in the flesh, and they did. But a quickening spirit doesn't bring souls forth or people forth in the flesh. Brings forth spirit. See, that's what it should be in the beginning, because that's where God started. It's supposed to start in the spirit. Hey, that's why any church that gets off the spirit's finished. Some never did start in the spirit. How bankrupt are those that came out of organization that didn't really change? I ask you, where did Seventh-day Adventists come from? Where'd your witness come from? At least the Catholic Church came out of something original before it got caught in his hoardings. But what about your Protestant prostitute daughters? Amen. Huh! They took evil from evil. Cults. See? There's only one people can have true living bread. If there's going to be bread restored, you've got to come by God's method, God speaking in the prophets. Well, people don't want to believe that. Don't believe it. I don't care what you believe or don't believe. You'll never make it. No way. Because you don't believe God. You got your own idea. Go work it out. It'll bounce back on you what you believe. Don't ever think it won't come back because it will. Your revelation is you. That's the way it was with Jesus. He was God's own revelation. And you tell me you got a phony revelation and you're going to make it? I'm depending on what God did in this age, vindicated, manifested. I wouldn't trust myself or any cotton-picking bunch of creeds and dogmas. That's when I was the Baptist, I heard three and four times a day from Baptist headquarters. I finally said, merciful God, if I could hear from God this often, I'd be the most spiritual man ever lived. Outside the Apostle Paul, and maybe beat him. I said, take my name off your books. All right, listen. Howbeit the first was not which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. It was supposed to be, but it didn't follow. Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus would have done the same thing. Because ain't no man going to stand up on this earth. No man. And never going to make it. If he had wasn't that Logos become flesh, he would have flunked. Sure he would have. Don't tell me, wouldn't he? He'd have been true to form because he'd had to come by the other seed. Finished. He had to come by a virgin. That doesn't prove serpent seed, what does? See? Alright, listen. The first man are earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. Going to be an entirely brand new race that comes up. But what's he talking? Now let's keep reading here. As we're born in the image of earthy, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither corruption inherit incorruption. Now listen, the image of the heavenly was, what was that? Jesus, the express image of God, a human being. Now, we're going to get that same image in the resurrection. How? Because God gives that original seed in there, the body that He wants. Now let's face it. Brother Branham correctly said hundreds and hundreds of times, every child is born by sexual desire. Oh, I know a lot of people are, oh, they're very moral and they got very wonderful ideas and they copulate. Certainly they do with an idea of having a baby at a certain time. But if you didn't have the sexual desire, you wouldn't copulate, period. Children are born from it. I'm reducing it down to where it is. Then there's got to be some seed in there from way back that the human doesn't have that God gave him. See? Now we're born the image of the earthy. All mixed up. Now we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. What's that image? Christ! Made human flesh. He could not have been killed. There's no way they could have destroyed him. He said, I give my life, I lay it down, I take it up, and he did exactly.
Hallelujah.
And he sprinkled us to life that had that seed lying in us. And if and when we die, there's coming a day when he raises us to immortality. That image then is perfect. And if we're living here at the day of the change, we go from glory to glory, which is God's assessment. God's own working. As was glorious under Luther, more under Wesley, more under Pentecost, this message ends in a blaze of glory. Amen. Which is many sons standing here in his very presence, in his very likeness. That's going to be wonderful. That's be worth it all when I see Jesus. No, not so much then as when he sees himself in me and is glorified. Right here in the Perusia. If you're waiting to get up there when you see him, forget it. You don't miss that too. You're simply a fundamentalist. Better line your thinking up, brother. Not because Lee Vale says so, because he's impassioned. Forget that. I could just write in a piece of paper and hand you cigarette paper, toilet paper, anything else. I'm rough. I'm tough. I'm crude. I admit it. But you got to be these days to get it across. Ain't going nowhere. Unless you're right. That's not your fancy talk either. So we see the Logos in the midst of the bride. In Ephesians 1:17. That is Revelation 10:1 to 7. Especially to bring to pass Revelation 10:6 and 7, which is that one swore by himself that time has run out and the mysteries are finishing. They're all winding up under the seven church age messenger, which is in Revelation 22 and 14. A bride will walk through the tree of life and never die. Now listen, that one here is Jesus, Jehovah Savior. Not incarnated. As per flesh, because carnus means flesh. But indwelling a pillar of fire. Now, almost every time you read the word Lord in the Bible, it absolutely is Jehovah. I just looked it up. I don't know why those translators did that. Why not call him what he is? Jehovah. Page after page in the concordance. Oh, Lord. Lord, what does Lord mean? My Lord and my Master. My despotic supervisor. That's part of God, don't worry. It's Jehovah. Now let's go back and take a look at Jehovah in Genesis 22. All right, in Genesis 22 is where Abraham is going to offer up his son, which he does before Almighty God. And then out of the, in the bush there is the ram that is caught by the horns and becomes a sacrifice. And in 14 to 18, Abraham, listen, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. God himself will supply. As it is to this day in the mountain, the Lord shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham of the heaven the second time. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Now notice, God's his own messenger. People say they believe the Bible. They don't believe this. They don't believe God's his own messenger. He is. He's come on down. He's Jehovah. I swore by myself, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee, multiplying, I'll multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of heaven, the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of earth be blessed, because thou hast heard my voice. Now listen, let's go to Galatians and get that absolutely explained to us. And it's in the third chapter, the 16th verse. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, as he saith, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. And God here himself is telling of the birth and death and resurrection and the power of Christ. Right here. And he said, you obeyed my voice. Who obeyed his voice? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I've been given a commandment. I'm going to do it. For this cause came I into the world. Amen. Therefore he shall see a seed. That's exactly. I'm going to read it next. Over here in Isaiah. Are you catching what I'm trying to show you? Isaiah 53. I've got to go terribly fast to get finished. Isaiah 53 and 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Thou hast put into shame. And he stood there like a lamb. And took it all. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He had to die and sprinkle the seed to bring it forth out of the ground. Amen. He's going to see it. Amen, he's going to see it. He won't have eyes for anything else either. Now, thinking of Genesis 22, 15 to 23. Did I read all of it? Can't remember. How far to go? No, I would not have to go that far anyway. Blessing, I shall bless thee. Okay, I don't read any further than Genesis 22, where we read it. All right. Now listen. In there I read where God himself called Jehovah, supplying, at that time swore, concerning Christ. The enemy's going to possess the gate, is that right? The seed. Now listen, that has not happened. Let's go back. Revelation 10. I saw another mighty messenger come down and close the cloud, rainbow upon his head, feast of red, ready where the sun feet of pillars of fires. What's that? The one on the throne? The Logos. Now watch. And verse 6, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, things that there and are, and the earth, and things that there and are, and the sea, and the things that are there in the time should be no longer. Now what's he done? He has come down and sworn again. The original swearing was, this in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. They'll possess the gates of the enemy. Never happened. But it's got to happen. When? When this great one, the Logos, comes down on earth and is visible amongst us, proving who he is. This is the hour that he sees his seed, the dead coming out of the grave. And we possessing the gates of the enemy. That's what it says. Oh, you say that's Israel. You're a bit of a fruitcake. Now you don't know your Bible. You're sick spiritually. Abraham was no Jew or no Israel. Came out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God took a man who could encompass all. Who became a type. Get your eyes off the Jews. They got their own destiny. Nothing to do with you and me. Now listen. That one there that raised his hand and swore that all these things had run out now. The book of redemption is down. Over here in Ephesians. No, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15 again. We read. But in every man his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia, his presence. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority, for he must reign. Now, Jesus got to reign. But God's doing the reigning now. Amen. Jesus does not reign until the millennium. God's doing it right here, bringing all things under his feet. Bringing even death, for that's the last enemy. All the enemies are coming under now. God who swore back there, your seed shall possess. They shall overcome the enemy. The very scripture in Ephesians said, when he raised Jesus, then we get raised to where he is. We are going to, in him, have all things under our feet. We'll possess the gates. All their strong points, all their strongholds. He is here now to do it. In Ephesians 1, 17 to 20, I've read it so many times, you know it, or you should know it by now. So Jehovah is here to raise the dead and to bring all the seed or kindred into the millennium. Now watch, the gates of the enemy. The last and great enemy is death. That is the gates of hell. And as the devil in death was against the revelation of Jehovah in flesh to bring redemption to souls, and spirit, he is against the revelation that Jehovah is here to raise the dead. And the victory over death and hell that was started in 33 and a half A.D. is about to be consummated. Because that's the first place they had the first resurrection. Now, listen. All that lies in Jehovah was manifested in that man Jesus. And remember, he could be called that name and inherit that name because the life of Jehovah was in him.
purely Jehovah. All that is in him and is in that name, and that name is in the bride. Now get that again. All that's in that name was in him from the Father, and all that's in that name is still in that name which is in the bride. In him, therefore, in that name, in the bride, is immortality. Right at this point. Immortality, because that's why he's here. Secondly, in there is the millennium. Thirdly, in there is power and authority. Fourth, in there is creation, though I don't know how we'll use it, but it'll be used. In there is life over death. All that he is, she is, and this is the hour of the revelation for it. All she needs for the rapture is in his name. And it came in the seals. The new name was in the thunders. Now, you say, you're going to tell us what it is? All I can say is this. You cannot add one word to the Bible. You cannot take one word. I wouldn't have the least idea. But I still know there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name in redemption and the resurrection is part of it is still Jesus. What I'm looking at here is this. I cannot add a word or take a word. Brother Branham never said it. I don't believe anybody needs to say it. But get this one thing sure. That the revelation of that name has been given us or declared to us in John 17 and 20, beginning. Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now it talks about that oneness, which you can only have through the name. You follow me? That name is because you are that which is in the name. Well, if you're not the body of Jesus Christ, tell me what you are. You body Methodist? Fine, go to Methodist. You'll get a good idea of Methodism, like when you dig up the story on the woman that Wesley married. Phew. How much revelation did he have about anything? She was mental. And God knows what else. I'm just talking now. Is that the kind of bride? Is that what we look at? Methodism? He fostered the Methodists. I'm not against the Methodists. I'm just giving an illustration here. What about the Lutherans? I can tell you one thing. They don't teach what Luther taught because I got the books. I could go in the Lutheran pulpit right today and teach what Luther taught. They'd say, get out of here. You're no Lutheran. I said, that's exactly right. Neither are you. I got the books. Don't kid me. Library's full of them. I want to see what that junk is people talk about the Methodists. I can tell you, Wesley never taught the junk they teach. I can tell you that flat. I've got some of his stuff, too. I've got Fletcher, his theologian. He never taught that stuff. I'm not much of a student. Listen. I and them and thou and me, they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them, that, and as thou hast loved me. That's an awful big love. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In other words, they may apprehend truly your estimation of me, which is your own self revealed. Now listen. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now watch. Here's what I'm aiming at. I have declared thy name, and will declare it. In other words, I've done it once. I'm going to do it again. When did he do it? He's doing it now. Amen. That to me is good enough for the new name until I understand it or it passes me by. I don't know what God wants. I have declared unto them thy name, will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Now listen, without that name in her, declare. And a prophet declared it. I call you Mrs. Jesus. You're no longer saints, your church, your bride. You'd never get this. Why? Because don't you see that name had to be his name because that's what it was. That's why you can't be called anything but bride today because that's what you are. If you want something else, go ahead. Now, there is no end to it. It goes on into eternity. Once we were called Adam, now we're called Jesus. Our true identification has been set to our seal by the Spirit himself.
You may not have thought of this, but we are the true Jehovah's Witnesses.
Amen.
Listen, don't think the devil didn't bring these scarecrows on before the real happened. Before Mary, the virgin, had a baby by virgin birth. For hundreds and hundreds of years, women would visit temples with trapdoors where supposedly gods would come in. They were monks, not Catholic monks, just ordinary heathen. They'd copulate with the women and have a baby. Oh, see, I'm a virgin. The Spirit had intercourse with me and I got a baby. He had millions of them. Women have always been the pawn of men. God have pity on the poor. Their ERA and the whole bunch of things just makes them worse shape than ever. They should rise up in dignity to keep their vessels holy. They would get somewhere. Never mind what a man wants. If he wants it, let him go out there and buy it from a harlot. I speak to young women here. Keep your vessels, and you men, keep your vessels or God will judge you. The virgin birth was defiled through mythology. And when he came, the true virgin born, they said, ha! We've been through that thousands of times for hundreds of years. Forget it. In 1914, Jehovah Witnesses said, we are before that. We witness to Jehovah. They don't. They don't know who he is. Because they make Jesus a simple creation of God. He's the Logos. The attributes of God. You show me attributes without a life and I'll eat it. Where did they come from? Then they said he's here back in 1914, but he wasn't. He didn't start manifesting until 1933. We had the scarecrows. And you'll have more. We alone have the bridegroom, for we're bride. It is time to possess the kingdom. It is here as in Luke 17. The Pharisees, when he was demanded, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh, not with observation. It'll be here, but you won't even know it. It'll be under your noses, you won't recognize it. I can prove what I'm saying. For they shall say, lo here, or lo there, or behold, the kingdom of God is right in the middle of you. Run here, run there. That's what the churches are doing. Running, running, running. They can't hold still for the first resurrection. They're going to miss it. Are you that way this morning? You can't hold still? Me, this church hasn't had people like that. Every church has got three kinds. You say, Brother Bill, pick them up. Don't be ridiculous. God only knows who are His. I don't know if I'm His either by faith, I believe. Foundation stand assured that God knows.
Amen.
I'm asking you one question. Can you stand still? If you can't stand still, I'll tell you your faces, you're not going to make it. You hear what I'm saying? I proved it at the time of the resurrection. If you didn't hear the sermon, get the tape and listen to it. And you'll find out if you can't stand still. You say, Brother Babe, you're terribly nervous, and you get around. But I'm not at all that way. I do stand still. I've got no problem. Not a bit. Way back when I discerned, I could get as calm as a piece of ice. You couldn't throw me if you tried. You won't do it either. The world can't stand still. When they saw Jesus, they ran with their own ideas. When they saw John, they ran. When they saw William Branham, the greatest minister. Look, I've had the books in my hands. Don't talk to me unless you've read the same books I've read. And mine have been authentic. I don't know what kind of junk you've been reading. Not that I want to run your books down. But look, I've got the histories. Had it in my hands. You'll never find a minister like Brother Branham's. You won't find in years what I saw in a few minutes under his ministry. Which was meant only one thing, proving that God is here to reveal himself. The world missed it. Back there they missed it. The king was there. Their king was God. Remember? And the king stood there. They said, we have no king but Caesar. That's right. They blew it. right in the middle of them. We don't want it. They missed it. Listen. Then shalt thou call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. They missed it. And it was John the Baptist who turned them to the Lord their God to get them ready that Jesus, who would save the people from their sins, could be recognized. They turned it down. And now Elijah has come to bring that name before us and identify the Spirit amongst us to save us from wrath to come and death. And turn us to the understanding of the wisdom of God. Once more the name Jehovah Savior is placed, but not in Jesus. That's been done. It's placed in the bride.
Amen.
I know you don't understand. I know it's beyond your thinking. You don't think I'm preaching beyond myself? Brother, sister, you gotta be kidding. I'm gonna preach beyond myself until God answers it back to me. And if it's a revelation I'm seeing in here that coincides with the truth, what is in here will come back on me. We've been told by the prophet, I don't call you church anymore. I don't call you saints, I call you bride. Why? Bride's married. Joseph was married to Mary already. The word espoused means married. Brother Branham uses one place, engagement, but other places it's marriage, and it's marriage. You look up in the Greek and you look up in your dictionaries. It's marriage.
Amen.
I have married you. I have wedded you. You're turning back this time. No way. The name is in the bride. Listen, why not? She is his body. Then what should she be called? You're going to bear a son. A bear what? A body. What's his name? Jesus. What's his body today? She's his one. Is she ashamed to take his name? They are one. And this is that hour. That she is all things to him. And she is filled with the all things of God. That's enough. That ends it. Till next Tuesday. Stay home if you want. I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm serious. I don't fool people. I know I'm telling you the truth. I know God is going to get back to what I'm saying. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding you. I haven't lied to you and I don't intend to lie to you. And I'm not a world beater. And I'm not a nice, sweet, wonderful guy. With all the multitudinous graces. I'm not talking about Lee Dale. And I'm not talking about people anymore. I'm talking about him. Who stands amongst us and what he said he'd do for us. A couple of people don't realize he's the altogether lovely. And all lovely, beautiful qualities. They get scared off by the scarecrow. They're afraid to stand up and be counted. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. The gates of hell will not prevail against the revelation that he is here. And he has opened the understanding of our hearts. And he has put the ring of espousal upon the bride. And he's given her his name. No wonder she'll walk right past death into the tree of life. Because he was called Jesus because. Go ask your mothers, why did you call me John? Why did you call me Mary? Why did you call me Ann? Why did you call me Martha? Why did you call me Hope? I feel very hopeless. Why did you call me Elizabeth? I'll never qualify. Ann can't either because she was a prophetess. Any Simon? Simeon? Ask them why they called you that. A whim. A whim in the human race. But Jesus was not called by a whim.
Amen.
He was what he was called. Jehovah Savior. My, what a name the bride has been given her. What a name under heaven. Who would need another name? Who would look for something else? Who would want something better? Yeah, Mrs. Jesus. Yeah, when he said it, he didn't. It just sounded kind of cute. Kind of a little bit, hey, what is this?
but not anymore. We're beginning to know. The Lord bless you. I'm kind of rough, but don't mind that. I'm 1,000 times rougher than myself than I am on you. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. I know what it's all about in this respect. It's real, brother, sister. Theory which never has been theory. Doctrine by word, which is correct, has given way to the life that set it forth until the word is becoming flesh again. And this union is going to bring him back to earth. It's going to. Don't think for 1 minute it won't. Look, I know we can say hey, and we do because we try to be very careful. If the Lord should tarry, we shouldn't even bother saying that because he's already here. You might say, well, if he should delay those events, he won't. Everything's right on time. It's us that are delayed or previous. But he's here this morning, united with the bride. Brother, sister, take advantage today to believe everything that says in his word concerning what we have in him and he in us at this hour. Take advantage to stay with it until God anoints it back to you, and he will. Because there is not one word that is void of power. Listen, if that is the case, what word is above every name in the entire universe? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You follow me? Lord bless you, bless you. You got 2 hours just right before we go to the last rite for Sister Carolyn. We go in prayer and faith, hoping that something might be said to be of courage and help to those that are standing in this hour of breathing. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that we have had our time of fellowship this morning around your word. And myself, Lord, I feel extra good about it. I could be wrong, but I don't believe I am, Lord, and I'm not going to say I'm wrong unless you would do something drastic. And you haven't been doing that for a long time now. You've been speaking hope, encouragement, faith, and love, and all those things, my God, which we have always said were yours and extended toward us. And today we say, yes, 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 mighty God. There hasn't been one word fail, and there will not be. And we're believing this morning, Lord, that we are that which you have said. We are the bride, the Mrs. Jesus, and many, many more like us, scattered here and scattered there, Lord. We don't arrogate to ourselves a unity with you as to a geographical location, but a spiritual location, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That Holy Spirit speaking in hearts this morning, as Brother Branham said, in Africa, in Australia, New Zealand, England, all the places around the world, there is someone there, Lord, and you are now in the midst of those people. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. Oh, God in heaven, I'm anxious, Lord, and I know of myself I'm not anxious enough. Prevail, thou great God, prevail upon us. Until our anxiety mounts, Lord, to a fervor that we must stand still before you and open our hearts and our minds to this one great and marvelous truth of which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. You are here and the same yesterday and today and forever. For which we thank you. Now, Lord, be with each one. Keep each one. Bless each one. Guide each one. Bring us back together, Lord. I pray, my God, for the one reason to get deeper in your word and deeper within yourself, Lord, because I believe with all my heart, Heavenly Father, that you will anoint that which is correct. I believe that. Now, Father, forgive us for maybe any harshness I've displayed, which I do at times, and in fact, too much of the time. Pray you'll forgive, Lord. May the people understand that not speaking in personal things to anyone personal, but speaking in terms of principles, O God, which I must admit myself am so neglectful. So, Lord, forgive us, we pray. Forgive us, and it seems such a shallow thing to say, forgive us in the light of the realization of what is here. Merciful God, surely we can arise to the occasion more than ever before. Merciful God, in our own hearts, we're pleading with you that whatever lies within your grace and with this hour to do, do it, Lord, whatever it may, whatever it costs, whatever comes back upon us, so that we would shake these things that must be shaken, to stand in that which cannot be shaken. And Lord, do that for us And we'll praise you for it, as we've learned recently that there is there's a wonderful place where you just bring us right to where we should be, and we're so grateful for it. It's just wonderful. And we thank you. Now, Lord, bless everyone, youngest to oldest. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Well, let's just go sing and take the name of Jesus with you. You're not going to shake it, I'll tell you that. You won't get rid of that, get away from that name. You see? Amen. The Lord bless you. Okay, is that the right key? I don't want to keep another.